tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?
Lesson five of our From Here to Armageddon series. The fourth major event on our From Here to Armageddon timeline is the revealing of the Antichrist. In our previous lesson, we talked about the building of Israel's third temple, which will take place during the first 3.5 years of the final 7-year period. Once this temple is finished, the Jewish people will want to hold a dedication of their third temple. The reason this is so important for the Jewish people is that at their first temple dedication, a very special thing happened. When Solomon dedicated the first temple in 968 BC, as he prayed the dedicatorial prayer, at the end of his prayer, suddenly fire supernaturally fell from heaven, consumed the sacrifice. All the people of Israel that were present that day fell on their faces before the presence of God. Now, when this third temple is completed, and remember, it'll be the first temple in 2,000 years, leaders from around the world will be there to celebrate this amazing event. Now, the Jewish leaders are hoping that the fire will fall again from heaven to endorse what they have done with the building of the third temple. So it's going to be with great expectation that the sacrifice is going to be laid out there on the altar of the new temple. The rabbis will be administering the entire sacrifice. There will undoubtedly be a dedicatorial prayer again. Once the prayer is finished, many of them are going to be thinking, okay, the fire is going to fall from heaven. However, it won't happen. It's going to be a very awkward moment. Now, here's a question that I cannot prove scripturally to you, but I'm wondering if that won't be when the false prophet saves the day, steps forward, and with a wave of his hand, pulls fire down from heaven. The Bible says he is going to pull down fire from heaven in the sight of men. The only question is, will this be the time? If so, it would be the perfect time. Let's read from the passage of Scripture that tells us that the religious partner with the Antichrist is going to pull down fire from heaven. It's Revelation 13:13. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Now, when this happens, the influence of the false prophet is going to increase exponentially. Just think about this for a moment. Think about if the false prophet does call fire from heaven at that time or whenever it happens, and the whole world is watching this happen. Can you imagine? People will be weeping. People will be seeing the supernatural, some of them for the first time in their entire life. They will be clapping. They will have their hands raised, worshiping. Everybody's going to think, God is amongst us. God is blessing us. Some of them will go to the ground on their knees, weeping and worshiping God. It's going to cause the whole world to look at the false prophet as a true prophet on this earth. If it happens at the dedication, well, you can see where we will go from there. Now, after the dedication of the temple, many people are going to be uncomfortable with the offering of the sacrifice that day, but it's a special occasion, so they'll tolerate it. However, what they don't realize is Jewish law demands that there's a sacrifice offered every morning and every evening. Well, Israel's going to institute these daily sacrifices. Once it dawns on the people of the world, hey, this is going to happen from now on, the opposition is going to build quickly, especially from the animal rights activists. I can see now them marching on the temple mat with their placards. Animals have rights too. Barbarism in the 21st century. We can't do this anymore. So the opposition to these sacrifices will start building. It's going to become a real point of debate in the news of the world. Now, hold on to that thought for a moment, because there's another event going to happen at the same time that we need to understand. In Revelation chapter number 12 and verse number 7, it tells us this: "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon being Satan, and the dragon fought and his angels." Now, several things happen as a result of this war in heaven. Notice it states there that when Satan fights against the angels of God, that Michael will lead the angels of God against Satan, and Satan is going to be defeated. The Bible says, "And his place was found no more in heaven." Now, let's make sure we get this. He's going to be banished from heaven. Verse 8 and 9 tells us that Satan prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, let's make sure we really understand what's going on here. This takes place 3.5 years before the battle of Armageddon.
From Here to Armageddon, a new, exciting 8-lesson series to share with your family and friends. Order yours right away.
From Here to Armageddon answers many questions like: how far are we from the Battle of Armageddon? What will happen between now and then? Where are we on the timeline? This new series gives an overview of the major events that will occur from now until then and the second coming of Jesus Christ. Irvin covers topics such as the Six Trumpet War, the final 7 years, the Antichrist revealed, and the world's greatest revival just ahead. God did not intend for his people to stumble blindly into the end times. All your questions clearly answered in this exciting 8-lesson series, From Here to Armageddon.
Order yours today. Go to endtime.com or call 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463. 1-800-END-TIME. Order yours right away.
Why is Satan making this effort at this particular time? Because he knows we're about to the time when he's going to the bottomless pit for 1,000 years of solitary confinement. Why not go for broke? He decides one more time to usurp the place of God, to replace God with himself. Well, he's going to be defeated. Now, remember, the Bible says that he will then be confined to the earth. It states there that the accuser of the brethren is going to be cast down. This is Revelation 12, verse 10 and 11. "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." Now, what's that about? Well, Satan's number one occupation is bringing guilt on the human race. He is the accuser of the brethren. A lot of people think that this casting down of Satan described in Revelation 12:7 happened before the creation of man. But that can't be true because the Bible says he's been accusing the brethren. If he was cast down before the creation of man, he would have no access to heaven to accuse the brethren. We also have an account in the Old Testament where Satan came before God to give an account for his administration. And God said to him, what have you been doing? He said, I've been walking to and fro through the earth, seeking whom I may devour. And the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? Satan said, oh yeah, I've considered him, but you've got a hedge around him. You've blessed him so much, he wouldn't give me the time of day. Well, he said, you just let down that hedge and he'll curse you to your face. You wait. He's not serving you because he loves you. He only serves you because you've been so good to him and you've blessed him so much. Well, you know the story. God let the hedge down. Job stayed faithful. Finally, Satan came back and said, you let me touch his life. Skin for skin, a man will give everything he has for his life. You let me touch his life and he'll curse you to your face. The Lord said, touch his life. Don't take his life. So Satan went down, covered Job with boils, but Job stayed faithful and said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, this is an example of Satan accusing the brethren, and Satan is still doing that at this present time, and he will be doing this until halfway through the final seven-year period. That's when he launches this war against God. And that's when the voice said, glory and honor be to him that sits on the throne, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which did accuse them day and night. Now he's going to be banished from doing that anymore. And then it goes ahead to say, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. So as Satan was coming against God's people, they had the means to overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. That's our defensive weapon. Anything Satan can bring into our lives, the blood of Jesus is able to eradicate it. The blood of Jesus Christ is the antidote to sin. So they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb. That's their defensive weapon. And by the word of their testimony, that's their offensive weapon. They're out winning people to Jesus Christ from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God by testifying about what Jesus Christ has done for them. And of course, Satan hates that, but that's the way we defeat Satan today. Now, the scriptures tell us that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Now, if Satan was banished before the creation, obviously there would have been no brethren to accuse. Now, let's continue on here because I want you to see the rest of this scripture. Going on down in Revelation 12:12, the Bible says the casting down of Satan is going to fill Satan with wrath. He's going to be angry because he knows he's got 3.5 years left before he goes to the bottomless pit for the next 1,000 years. And listen to what the scripture says. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. Why? For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Now, notice something here. When Satan is cast down halfway through this seven-year period, the Bible says he will come down having great wrath, that he knows that he hath but a short time. He then goes forward to persecute the people of the earth. Many people think that the great tribulation that we refer to all the time is the wrath of God. That's a misunderstanding. This scripture explicitly tells us that it's the wrath of Satan. Satan comes down to you having great wrath, knowing that he hath but a short time. So the great tribulation is the wrath of Satan, not the wrath of God. And this all is triggered by this war in heaven halfway through this final seven-year period. The Bible tells us that Satan then persecutes Israel for the next 3.5 years. Let me read the scripture for you. Revelation chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman with the 12 stars about her head described in the first part of the 12th chapter. The 12 stars represent the 12 tribes of Israel. The woman is Israel. So he persecuted the woman that was bringing forth the Messiah, the Christ child. Israel gave us our Messiah. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle. Now, this is at the time that Satan is cast down, 3.5 years before Armageddon and the second coming of Jesus. To Israel were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for, watch this, a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. Now, as I said, the woman from verse 1 with the 12 stars, that's Israel. And the woman is defended by a great eagle. The eagle is used to symbolize the United States of America. Back in Daniel chapter number 7, the Bible depicts the United States as the eagle's wings growing out of the lion, Great Britain. And of course, that's all happened now. So here we find, halfway through this 7-year period, the United States is defending Israel, and Israel will be protected for 3.5 years. And the Bible says Israel will flee into her place. Where is Israel's place? It's her promised land. God gave the promised land to Abraham and his seed after him, his descendants. Way back in Genesis chapter number 15, verse number 18, God said to Abraham, I enter into covenant with you this day that the land on which you dwell will be yours and your descendants after you forever. So even though a lot of people have thought that the Antichrist would control the Holy Land during the Great Tribulation, it's not true. The Antichrist will have the ability to stand on the Temple Mount, where he will be the supervisor of the sharing arrangement on the Temple Mount. But as far as controlling Israel itself, Israel is going to stay in control of the Holy Land all during the Great Tribulation. We know this because the Antichrist and his world government forces will invade Israel at the end of the Great Tribulation. You don't invade a place if you already control it. Now, notice it says that he will persecute the woman Israel for time, that's 1 year, times is 2 years, half a time is half a year. So 1 year plus 2 years plus half a year is 3.5 years. This is a 7-year period of time we're looking at here on our timeline. Halfway through the Great Tribulation begins and then lasts all during the last half of the 7-year period, or for 3.5 years.
From here to Armageddon, a new exciting 8-lesson series to share with your friends and family. Order yours right away.
Answering many questions like, how far are we from the Battle of Armageddon? What will happen between now and then? Where are we on the timeline? Your questions answered in this exciting 8-lesson series, From Here to Armageddon.
Go to endtime.com or call 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-END-TIME, 1-800-363-8463. Order yours right away.
There's another very important event that happens simultaneously with Satan being cast out of heaven. Undoubtedly, the casting of Satan out of heaven and his confinement to the earth will produce what the Bible calls the abomination of desolation. It's mentioned several times in Scripture. One of the mentions is Daniel chapter number 9, verse number 27. Let's look at it together. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. In the midst of the week, he will cause the sacrifice and the oblation to stop. And for the overspread of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So what is this scripture? It's a difficult scripture to understand, but let me decode it for you real quickly here. The he that will confirm the covenant is the Antichrist. This scripture says the Antichrist will do three things. He will confirm the Abrahamic covenant, which means he will confirm Israel's right to the Holy Land, the promise that God gave to Abraham in Genesis 15, 18. Secondly, he's going to cause the sacrifices that have been resumed in the temple, once the temple's finished and they start offering the daily sacrifices. Now, he is going to cause the sacrifice to stop. And then the third thing he will do is to enact the abomination of desolation. There's another scripture, another prophecy about the abomination of desolation that I want you to see to get a fuller view of what God is trying to tell us here. Daniel chapter 11, verse 31. And arms shall stand on his part, speaking of the Antichrist, if you'll read the context. And they, the Antichrist and his partners, shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and watch what they will do, and shall take away the daily sacrifice. We read about that in Daniel 9, 27. Here we are again. The Antichrist will take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. Now, this confirms to us that it is the Antichrist that will stop the daily sacrifices and place the abomination of desolation. The reason I emphasize that is because there are some people that mistakenly teach that the He of Daniel 9:27 is the real Christ. Cannot possibly be true when you consider Daniel chapter number 11. So the abomination of desolation, we want to know now some more things about it because it's a real pivotal time. It's even referred to in the New Testament. So where will the abomination of desolation actually take place? None other than Jesus himself told us. In Matthew 24, the most famous prophecy chapter in the entire Bible, verse number 15, Jesus said this, "When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation," he even references Daniel saying, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, and then he tells us where it's going to happen. "Stand in the holy place." We know where the holy place is. It's in the temple. And we know the temple is on the Temple Mount. So the abomination of desolation is going to take place in the temple, on the Temple Mount. And then the Bible gives us more insight into what the abomination of desolation is. It takes place on the Temple Mount. But then 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse 3 and 4 tells us more about it. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Thessalonians and said, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, the day of the second coming of Christ, shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Notice it says that the son of perdition, the man of sin, the son of perdition, will be revealed when he sits in the temple of God claiming to be God. That event is called the abomination of desolation. Why is it the abomination of desolation? Because God said 37 times in the Old Testament, "I will put my name there on Mount Moriah, the Temple Mount. I will put my name there forever." And Satan said, "Oh, really? That's where you want your name? Well, guess where I want mine?" So now the Antichrist is going to stand there and say, "I'm the ultimate authority here." Remember, it was put under international supervision when they made the peace deal at the beginning of the 7 years. They're going to put the Temple Mount under a sharing arrangement under international supervision. Well, the Antichrist is now recognized as the international leader of the world. So he will be recognized as the ultimate person to enforce this sharing of the Temple Mount and to determine what happens there. So he's going to stop the sacrifices, and he will cause them to stop at that time. And he will claim to be Messiah, claim to be God. That is the abomination of desolation. Now, in Daniel chapter 11, verse 36, we're told something else that we need to understand. "And the king," the Antichrist, "shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done." Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. Now let's see if we can absorb all this. So now we're going to have a political leader, a global political leader that now is being recognized as the leader of the one world governmental system. And he's going to exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped. This event is called the abomination of desolation. The scripture now tells us something else that will happen at the time of the abomination of desolation. So we have the war in heaven. We have the abomination of desolation all occurring at the same time. Many people believe that when...
Thank you for being with us today on End of the Age. If you would like the complete lesson of today's program, watch the following message. From Here to Armageddon, a new, exciting 8-lesson series to share with your family and friends. Order yours right away.
From Here to Armageddon answers many questions like, how far are we from the Battle of Armageddon? What will happen between now and then? Where are we on the timeline? This new series gives an overview of the major events that will occur from now until then and the second coming of Jesus Christ. Irvin covers topics such as the Sixth Trumpet War, the final 7 years, the Antichrist revealed, and the world's greatest revival just ahead. God did not intend for his people to stumble blindly into the end times. All your questions clearly answered in this exciting 8-lesson series, From Here to Armageddon.
Order yours today. Go to endtime.com or call 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463. 1-800-END-TIME. Order yours right away.
Join Irvin Baxter in Newport News, Virginia on October 15th and 16th, in Orange, California on November 11th, and in Paris, California on November 12th and 13th. Call 1-800-END-TIME or go to endtime.com/events for more information.
His name is above violence and terror.